While you remain standing, but before we pray in just a moment, I want to read our text today from Mark chapter 1, verses 21 through 28. Then they went into Capernaum, and immediately on the Sabbath, he entered the synagogue and taught. They were astonished at his teaching, for he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with you, Jesus of Nazareth? Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." But Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Be quiet and come out of him." And when the unclean spirit had convulsed him and cried out with a loud voice, he came out of him. When they were all amazed, so that they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they obey him." And immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for who you are in our lives today. We thank you for your truth, for your word, for our Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for the things you did in this earth, the things you did during the time of your ministry. We thank you for your teachings. We pray that you touch our hearts today. We've already sung your praises, and we praise you for your truth, and we pray that you teach us even more today, and we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. If you would, go ahead and find your Bible and turn with me to the Gospel of Mark. The last couple of weeks we've been looking and what we've been calling some major moments in the life of Jesus in his ministry, some major events. We look at his baptism, where he was declared by the Father to be his son. The Holy Spirit visibly came down upon him. Last week we looked at his temptation experience, which is a great example for us. And today we're looking at the teachings of Christ. As we come to this time in Jesus' life, it is early in his ministry, about a year into his three-year ministry, about a year after his baptism and temptation experience. He is in Capernaum, where Peter lived and where he had his mother-in-law healed by Jesus. Capernaum was also the headquarters, if you will, of Jesus' ministry. This is where he would come in and out of. At this time, scholars suggest that there's probably only four disciples called by Jesus, two sets of brothers, Peter and Andrew, and James and John. And in this particular passage, we see Jesus teaching on the Sabbath in the synagogue. And that's no little thing. He is teaching in a sacred place, a holy place. It's not the temple, but it is much like the temple in that it's where they worship. That's where they have their services, if you would, their church times. That's where they study the word and sing and praise and commit themselves to God. It's a sacred place. It's on a sacred and holy day, the Sabbath. And Jesus is teaching. I want you to notice as we go through this passage, it begins with Jesus teaching. It ends with Jesus teaching. And really an emphasis on it, kind of an analysis of Jesus' teaching. And in the middle, sandwiched right between these emphases of Jesus' teaching, is this first exorcism of Jesus, the first time he cast a demon out of a person. And Jesus is teaching some specific things, but I think we could easily say we could take all the teachings of Jesus that we have in the Scripture. I'm sure there's a whole lot that he taught that we don't have recorded in the Scripture, but even what we have for us in the Word of God, you can put it all together and have a pretty good comprehensive view of Jesus' teaching and Jesus' truth. I suppose that if Jesus was preaching and teaching today, he would max out, he would absolutely fill the biggest venues, the biggest places, the biggest conference centers, the biggest arenas, the biggest stadiums. It would probably be bigger than even Billy Graham's crusades over the years. People would come because they loved to hear what he said. He spoke the truth in undeniable ways, and people wanted to hear Jesus speak with authority and speak clearly the Word of God. I want to ask you something. I don't know if you've ever thought of this before. I haven't. Before this week. What do you think is the greatest teaching of Jesus? And probably a lot of different things come to your mind. I'm going to suggest some things, and you may think later of some other things. That's fine. But what are some of the greatest teachings that Jesus gave in the New Testament? One he takes, I think probably the obvious one, he takes from the Old Testament. He adds a little bit. But he says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and strength. Jesus uses it, applies, and adds that last fourth verse, not in the Old Testament. He says, also love the Lord your God with all your strength, everything that is in you, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus expounded on that, by the way, but those are some great teachings of Jesus. Jesus gave us the golden rule. Do unto others as you would have them do unto you. How often do we try to propagate that in our society and teach our children? That's a great way to live. Jesus had a number of I am statements. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I'm the light of the world. I'm the bread of life, the door, the resurrection, the life. Jesus claimed to be so many things in and of himself. Great teachings. He had a great teaching in John 3:16 that we can all quote. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Obviously, he is expounding on the tremendous love of God. It's for everyone in the world of all time. Jesus gave us the Great Commission. All authority in heaven and earth is given unto me. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. These are the marching orders of the church. This is why we remain on this earth. Jesus taught us the Great Commission. Go among all nations and make disciples. Jesus talked about his return. He said, I am going to come again. I will come quickly, and my reward is with me. Some would say, well, he hadn't come so quickly. It's been at least 2,000 years already. The word there really emphasizes not so much soon as suddenly. And I promise you, when Jesus finally does come, it's going to be like that. It's going to be in a flash. That's what Jesus is saying. Jesus said, when I go away, I'm going to send another comforter to you, another sent one. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. Then he will teach you and he will guide you into all truth. He had a lot to say about prayer, the manner, the motive, and the power of prayer. Jesus taught us to go the extra mile, turn the cheek. All of these are important, vital, beautiful, and life-changing truths. And it is our delight and privilege in this life as a child of God to know and live Jesus' teachings. Most important in our hearts and our mind. The teachings of Jesus are absolutely true. Listen to me. They are absolutely true, permanently abiding, life-changing, and God-honoring. Amen? I hope you've experienced that in your life. It is true. Jesus' teachings are sets of truths that are completely worthy of wholehearted acceptance and commitment. So I want us to see this morning, from this passage, two aspects of Jesus' teaching. First of all, I want to see his method. And there's a lot of methods. I'm going to share a number of them with you. But if you had to pick one that he used most of the time, it is exposition of truth. He wanted to explain God. He wanted to explain a relationship with God and a life with God and living for God. He was exposing the truths of God. There are two words in this passage in verse 21 and 22. The first word is taught. Very simple word. But it means so much. Jesus taught in verse 21. The Greek word is edidaskin. It means to declare truth, to instruct for life. It speaks of theological and practical matters. We sing a song today. Sing them over again to me. Wonderful words of life. Teach me faith and duty. That's what Jesus is teaching in so many different ways. How to live with God and live for God and live in this world. He taught. And then that second word is doctrine. Simply speaking, the word doctrine can be translated teaching. It means instruction or the act or matter of teaching. It is what is taught. It's the content. It's the insight, the interpretation. It's Jesus' words that are direct and personal. Jesus taught, and he taught doctrine. For example, in Matthew 4:11, I'm not going to have you turn there, but just know, Jesus taught concerning the gospel, the good news, the message of the kingdom. When Jesus came, he preached the kingdom to the Jews. He still, the word of God still proclaims the kingdom of God. In a sense, we are living in the kingdom or the rule of God through Jesus Christ. Someday, Jesus is going to establish his kingdom for 1,000 years on this earth and rule. That's going to be the most literal fulfillment of the kingdom of God. Mark 6:34, it simply says, Jesus taught many things. We can find many things in our gospel accounts. And again, I'm sure Jesus taught so much more. But he taught many things. He had a lot to say. It was all important. It was all true. Jesus had the good seed, by the way. You know the parable Jesus told about the sower and the seed. Farmer went out and threw seed on different kinds of soil or ground. Some of it was hard, it didn't penetrate. Some of it was thorny, it did penetrate, then they got choked out. Some of it was just shallow. It went, but it didn't go very deep. And then there's the good earth. It was deep, it was cultivated, it was soft. The seed could go down. And what Jesus said that seed was, it finally bore fruit in that kind of ground, is good seed. Good truth. Good words. The truth of God. I want to share with you a number of different ways Jesus taught. Now, I'm not suggesting this is all. You can probably find some more. But these are some principles, methods, or tools, or ways that Jesus taught. Number one, through parables, stories, illustrating the truths. Again, the sower and the seed, the prodigal son. Jesus taught a story. He said the man had two sons. One, the youngest, decided he wanted what he had coming, and he asked for it, he got it, and went and wasted it. He finally came back, and the father, who had never stopped being his father, received him, forgave him, loved him, restored him in a sense, certainly received him back. What's Jesus teaching in that? As Christians, we can always come back to the Father, and if we get away, we need to come back now. He is still our Father. He still receives us. He still loves us. I'm glad for that because there's times when I come back to him and he receives me as a loving father. There's commands, imperatives. Love the Lord. Jesus gave a lot of instructions and commands. Object lessons. Don't you love it when Jesus took a child? They're talking about the kingdom of God and salvation. And Jesus just took a child and said, he who comes to God must come as a child, with childlike faith, childlike trust, not having it all figured out, but leaning on God and Christ alone. A child just gives in completely. And then there's a discussion about taxes. Jesus' enemies wanted to try to catch him, and they asked the question about taxes. Was it okay to give to Caesar? Jesus said, give me a coin. He said, whose image is on this coin? And he said, Caesar's. And give to Caesar what's Caesar's. Give to God what's God's. Jesus knew how to bring home truth through object lessons and questions. Many times people try to, again, get to Jesus by asking questions. He'd turn around on him and ask a question himself. Many times he just simply asked questions to dig deeper. Jesus asked questions. He had paradoxical sayings. I'm going to quote someone I read after this week because he says it so well. He said, Jesus talked of ways that, this is all quote unquote, up is down. In is out. First is last. Success is serving. Retainment is releasing. Strength is weakness. Life is death. That's how Jesus taught. Paradoxical. Things that could only be true in a relationship with God through Jesus. Jesus spoke prophecy. He gave some signs of the return. He spoke again of the coming kingdom of God. He talked about the last days. He even prophesied his own death and resurrection when nobody was looking for it. Jesus spoke in prophecy. He spoke in beatitudes and blessings. We have these, many of them, in Matthew chapter 5, beginning of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Those 12 beatitudes by the poor and meek and so forth. He gave some very practical and moralistic lessons. Jesus taught about marriage and divorce. I don't know if many people listen. People don't listen today too much to that kind of thing. But he taught about marriage and divorce. He taught about giving and anger and forgiveness. He taught about things that are basic to life and critical and crucial in our life that we deal with all the time. He taught about those things. And again, he explained things and gave exposition. He got right down to the truth. He spoke in principles and truths, general rules of thought in life. Jesus' teaching was personal, persuasive, and powerful. That's his method. The exposition of truth. He told the truth. He applied it in ways that need to be understood. It challenges our lives. Secondly, his manner. And this is the expression of authority. Sometimes we think about Jesus' teachings as being real authoritative, and they are very bold, and they are. I want to share with you about five different aspects of Jesus' authority as he expressed it through his teaching. Number one is his authority was unrestrained. The word authority in the Greek language literally means, or at least one meaning, is freedom. To be free. Jesus taught freely. Let me tell you something. You probably never thought about this before, at least I hadn't. Jesus was absolutely free. Now, I'll be honest with you. I try to be real careful what I say. I'm not the authority. The Word of God, as far as I'm concerned, is the authority. God is the authority. Jesus is the authority. I'm not the authority. I try to be careful what I say. And even then, I mess up. Jesus could say anything he wanted to say. Any thought that came to mind, anything he wanted to express, anything he wanted to stand for or speak against, he could do it. Because he is the authority. He is the Son of God. He had truth. There's no mixture of truth in his heart and mind and spirit. Anything Jesus said would be true because he's God. Now, he wouldn't say if it wasn't true, but if he said it, it's true. He had freedom to speak truth. He was permitted his sovereign freedom to say and do whatever he desired. He wasn't bound or hindered by any other thought. For example, when Jesus overturned the tables in the temple of the money changers, and just the fact that he was angry and did it, I think speaks of his authority as well. But did you ever think about what he said? He said to them, you treat the house of God, the house of prayer, like a den of thieves. He was teaching. That's pretty bold. He was calling them out, telling them what they really are, not spiritual leaders, but money changers, trying to get rich off the things of God. Now, he could do that because he was the Son of God. He had the authority. It's unrestrained. You ever think about what it meant for Jesus to call the Pharisees hypocrites? These are the spiritual leaders. And he says, you're a hypocrite. You're ingenuine. You aren't telling the truth. You're not really following God from the heart. He could do that because he had authority. His authority was unrestrained. telling the disciples, these four he's already called, that they will be fishermen of men. That's quite authoritative. He just lays it down. Follow me, and if you do, I'll make you to be fishers. Not a fish, but a man. He has authority to say that and do that. Even to claim to be the Son of God. And he did, make no mistake about it. He claimed to be the Son of God. He did that because he was the Son of God. He had the authority to do it. It was unrestrained. Secondly, it was an understood authority. Verse 22 speaks of his doctrine, and again he taught them with authority. Clear, forceful, undeniable. People were drawn to him. They respected him. They heard the truth. They somehow were drawn to the dynamic in which he spoke. They accepted it and heard. And when Jesus called his disciples, what did they do? They put their nets down. Immediately they stopped being a fisher of men and became fishers, or fisher of fish, became fishers of men. And they understood his authority. They believed and obeyed. Thirdly, it was a unique authority. Here's what everybody said. Man, listen to how he preaches and teaches. It's not like the Pharisees, not like the scribes, not like our religious leaders. He speaks with authority, his own authority, which of course they did not. They spoke tradition. They spoke what they taught. They spoke men's ideas. But Jesus spoke with a unique authority, not men's authority, but divine authority. They depended on man's knowledge. Jesus depended on what God gave him. He says, the words I speak to you are the words the Father speaks to me. A unique authority. One example of this, in the Sermon on the Mount, talking about adultery, Jesus says, you have heard it said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Where do they hear that? From the Old Testament. He says, but I say unto you, he's adding something. You've heard it said, but I say to you, for a man to lust after a woman has committed adultery already in his heart. No one else said that. No one else would say that. Jesus had a unique authority. He also had an underscored authority. This is where the demon possession and the exorcism comes into play. Right in the middle of what Mark has to say about Jesus' teaching, he says he exorcised the demon. What a miracle. What a great spiritual healing for the demoniac. And Jesus' exorcism confirmed his truth. And they said, listen to him. What authority, even in teaching, because he's able to cast out the demon. You're going to listen to somebody who has that kind of power and authority. It was an underscored authority. It was also a universal authority. In our particular passage, it's limited to the region in which they were in. But really, truly today, Jesus' authority is everywhere. And again, in the Great Commission, when he says, all authority is given unto me everywhere. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations. Jesus has universal authority. Applies everywhere in the world, in the physical realm, in the spiritual realm, of all time, anytime. Jesus has universal authority. Now I want to talk about the ease of response in which Jesus spoke, this manner in his expression of authority. Look with me again in verse 22, and I want you to see the response of people in astonishment. Verse 22. And they were astonished to his teaching. He's in the synagogue on the Sabbath teaching. And they were astonished at his teaching. For he taught as one having authority and not as the scribes. They were astonished. They were amazed. They were blown away. They didn't expect to hear what they heard. They were completely astonished, one person says, what he spoke, and they recognized it to be completely out of the ordinary. They recognized it as God's word through him. And Jesus, again, even would say on one occasion, what I speak is what the Father speaks to me. And they were astonished at his authority. There's the acknowledgement by the demons. Look again, verse 23 and 24. Now there was a man in their synagogue with an unclean spirit, and he cried out, saying, "Let us alone." He's threatened. He knows the authority. He perhaps even anticipates what Jesus might do. And he wants him to leave him alone. He goes on to say, "Did you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." They're acknowledging Jesus' authority. They know who he is, what he can do. And they're afraid of what he might say. But they're acknowledging the demons acknowledged his authority. They also adhere to it. Verse 25 and 26, we won't read these verses again. It simply says they obeyed his command to leave. They came out immediately. There's no alternative. There was no hesitation. They couldn't think about it. They couldn't plead. There's no other action. They had to come out. When Jesus says come out of him, they had to. They must. And they did. Folks, I want us to understand, Jesus is still in control. His authority is real. His authority lies. And ultimately, people will respond one way or another and accept and submit to the authority of Jesus. There's going to be that adherence. And then finally, there's the advancement by people. I do want us to read these again. Verse 27, 28. They were all amazed, so they questioned among themselves, saying, "What is this? What new doctrine is this? For with authority he commands even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him." Verse 28. Immediately his fame spread throughout all the region around Galilee. His fame spread abroad all through the region as the one who spoke the truth of God, and everybody knew it. I want you to turn with me to 2 John. We're going to close in just one second. Second John. Verse 9, please understand and appreciate the gravity of this teaching. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine or the teaching of Christ does not have God. He who does abide in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. Now, that means specifically, and probably most importantly, the doctrine of the Son, the doctrine of Christ, what the Bible teaches about who Jesus is. And folks, there are many people supposedly preaching Christianity today that deny the truth of who Jesus is as the Son of God. John says, anyone who denies and disagrees with the doctrine of Christ doesn't belong to God. This is perhaps a wake-up call. We can extend it a little bit, even to us as Christians, about the teaching of Christ. How much of the truth concerning Jesus do we know and we don't adhere to? We know it's important and we don't live by. To some extent, in some way, we need to ask, do we even know Christ? If we can take his teaching so lightly, do we even know him? What John is saying is, essentially, if you truly know the teaching of Christ, you will abide to some degree, and perhaps even a large degree, in that teaching. I hope we can appreciate and value the teaching of Christ. It's all through the Word, not only in the Gospels and not only in the New Testament. The truth that is Christian truth, that we still believe is God's truth, is throughout the Word. It still applies.
to our life. May we treasure, may we value, may we be committed to the teachings of Christ. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for who you are, what you've done. In our hearts, as your Spirit gives witness, Lord, we affirm and we ask that you give us grace to live by your truth and by your teachings. Lord, may we honor you. May our lives bear out the truth that you teach. Much of it simply applies to even our lives as Christians. May, Lord, we be faithful to your truth. May you be honored and glorified in it. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Stand with me, please. I don't know what the Word of God may have spoken to you today, but if there's anything at all, respond to the truth of Christ. And even respond publicly as the Spirit leads you and as we sing.